audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Man from Atlantis. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Drew just commented that in the men's bathroom here at the station, it smelled like a dolphin took a crap there.
If you can imagine what that would be like, yes.
Jeremy McGrath is our guest tonight, the big man in Supercross, and went out last week. But let me say this about crap before I forget. And then tell me if you guys, be honest, has this ever happened to you? About every 37th crap I take, smells like cat crap. Do you ever get that cat crap crap?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Most of them smell like just good old-fashioned puke. But once in a while, you get that weird, like, what is a cat? A cat sneaking me and crapping me or something?
You have no smells. So when you get a bad smell, that's your cat smell.
You guys don't get the cat crap going.
When I'm in there, I'm trying to run out as fast as possible.
You don't hang out. Well, that's the difference between you and me, man.
That is.
Jeremy, I saw down at the Supercross in Anaheim two Saturdays ago I was there. And now it's coming up again this Saturday. I don't know how many people that place holds, but it was about full. I think there was 45,000. And I know people exaggerate when they do that. That means 38,000. But the official thing said 44 in change when I was leaving. And it didn't seem like you could get too many more people in there.
No, all four races so far this year have been sold out. So it's been a really good turnout this year.
Is it bigger than it ever was? Supercross?
I would have to say, yeah. I think it's more popular, bigger than it's ever been.
What year are you on in the circuit?
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Well, I want to know what it was like. I mean, you've been around 10 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like 10 years ago at Anaheim? Was it sold out?
Well, I don't quite remember. I think my first pro season was 91. I raced the 125 class back then, but I mean, I was kind of a young kid, so I think it was pretty packed, but...
Right. Could have just been your folks in the stands, and you were...
Yeah, exactly.
You were just excited.
I was so stunned because I was so young.
But, right. It's turned into... Remember the Super Bowl used to just be a football game that was played a couple weeks after the season kind of thing?
Now it's a happen.
No, it's fireworks and guys being announced and people riding through hoops of fire and, you know, laser shows.
Yeah.
It's become like what the Super Bowl halftime show is over there.
Yeah. It's basically a giant production now. It's great.
And then I went to Jeremy's premiere. Jeremy did... I don't know, Bloody Sprockets or Crusty Dirt Demons or
Steel
Mud
Roots 3.
Horse.
SR3.
Steel Roots 3. That's
SR3,
right.
SR3, New Blood.
And it was great, but I'm always so loaded by the time, you know, because the thing starts at midnight, and there's a theater right there in Anaheim, right off the parking lot there.
Wow.
And the place was packed. I mean, there's too many people in that place. I don't know what... We were there last year watching... Steel Roots 2.
Yep.
And we're in the VIP section there. We basically had it to ourselves.
Yeah.
This year couldn't move.
I went in there right after the race. I mean, I got there at 12 and the video was set to start at 12. And I mean, there was more people. I think what the problem was, everyone was crammed into VIP.
Was that what it was?
And there was no one out anywhere else, it seemed, but couldn't move.
And then, you know what happens is people, you know, this quasi B/C celebrity life is generally a good one until people get lit around you, and then the business cards start flying at you, and the long-winded conversations, and then just the dudes who got a quarter acre out in Bakersfield, and they want you to ride with them, you know, and you're like,
you don't even know how many.
Oh, dude, what? And then they start slamming you on the back. And then the good one is when they start screaming across the room at their buddy. And God forbid their buddy doesn't know who you are. Then their big argument breaks out. Dude, man show! And then his buddy's like, huh? And he's like, dude, the man show! And his buddy's like, I don't have cable. And then they get into an argument. You know this dude! And you're like, I'm like, hey, he doesn't know me. Leave him alone. Well, don't worry. You're gonna know. You know, you were doing a shot. We're doing a shot. And we're gonna take a picture. We're gonna do a shot. We're gonna take a picture doing a shot. Hold on, dude. Let me get the way. And then you're just caught up in this whole. It was just a sea of humanity back there. Yeah. But I had a good time. Your only recourse, your only option is to get loaded yourself and just try to numb yourself up. Blend in. Numb up. And I don't know if people are high on X or what's going on, Drew and Anaheim. You got your finger on the pulse of the kids. Everyone was like out of their mind.
They were all excited. They just got went away from the Supercross race and
I noticed that
they were high.
No, this thing
is that what it was?
Yeah. Reason to get wasted. The part of the experience now is going and just getting trashed.
Well, they maintained during the actual Supercross, but afterward,
I talked to several people who were like, "Oh, I went to that thing last night."
Yeah, well, I guess
really?
I guess
you
well,
event,
oh,
my
event,
video event, production is turning into a.
It's turning into a rehab meeting.
Right. My card's the one that I'll be passed around there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, yeah, I'll bring some of those things.
Good. Maybe sort of a little, like they have the LA Times trailers before movies. Maybe
right.
A little piece about drug abuse. You're
pulling there with the drug mobile.
Yeah.
And you know, it's true, though, whether it's a Super Bowl or it's Mardi Gras or it's a Supercross race, a lot of people want to go out and tilt a few, and this is a good way to do it. But I really enjoy myself at this thing. I mean, we're going nuts. We always go move down for the main and
get
just
right
start
on the
screaming.
Field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How's your arm? Jeremy's having a little problems with his forearm, little muscle
problem.
Yeah,
you know what?
There.
I figured it out. I mean, I was going nuts, racking my head against the wall, and I was struggling with arm pump. And I would ride like two or three laps, and I would just my right arm would just be so locked up. You know, pumped up. And I went to the chiropractor, and I've been there. And I took a pretty good header at the Supercross track where we practiced a couple months ago. And, you know, I didn't go get lined up after that. And I think from what my chiropractor told me, my back was pretty pinched. And the right side was kind of falling asleep when I was starting to ride. So
yeah, if there was
like the equivalent of a shin splint though in this compartment here. If you really bruise it and got blood in there, it will swell in the sheath, and it can swell to the point that pressure is so high you can't get blood.
Oh, I mean, the first few races I could barely ride.
That's actually a pretty serious thing.
Yeah,
Drew's pointing at his forearm, by the way, when he's talking to Jerry.
It felt like someone was really like stabbing me in the arm.
That's compartment syndrome.
It's all better now.
It's good.
Yeah. You gonna tell me he's gonna die tonight, or?
No, I'm saying you gotta just give it a couple weeks to whatever you're doing.
I stopped
riding.
A couple
weeks? No. He's a competitor. He's a warrior. He's no couple
right.
of weeks.
Okay.
You know what? Yeah. You rest when you die.
All right, man.
People say that. People say you sleep when you're dead, too, but I question both of those things. If someone could give me a real guarantee that I could actually get some napping in when I was dead,
you'd go there.
I would sleep less now, but I don't trust them, and I don't want to get caught. You know what I mean? I want to be in my deathbed and realize I hadn't napped enough. That's what I'm saying. All right. So anyway, Drew, you got to watch this. You got to watch this sport. It's crazy.
Someday we're going to get them there.
These triple jumps. Okay. I mean, how far are those triple jumps apart?
They're about 70 feet.
And like I said, everyone exaggerates. 70 feet is a seven-story building that's been tipped over, basically.
Yeah.
And it's each and every lap. I mean, if you made it once, you'd stop and celebrate. You'd be, you know, up on the podium,
yeah,
waving, blowing kisses, you know, doing that two-handed clinch thing that
yeah,
no one does anymore. People would be singing for you, "He's a Jolly Good Fellow." But they're doing it every lap. They're doing 20 laps. Or 20,
yeah, it's 20 laps.
20 laps. And in the air, like madmen. And doing stuff in the air. Adjusting stuff, pulling the goggles off, checking the beeper.
Yeah, jumping the triple jumps, the resting point.
Yeah, I know. These guys,
you get in the air and then you kind of loosen your grip and relax, take a few breaths, and you know, then when you land, you're set to go again. The hardest part's the whoops.
Yeah, there's literally a couple seconds of hang time. Now, most people would be freaked because you're on a motorcycle and you're 45 feet in the air. I mean, you're getting more height than Evel Knievel ever did jumping any of those buses. But these guys are like, well, they got some downtime. Now it's time to relax, reflect.
Yep, exactly. That's what it's all about.
Take care of, you know, personal grooming, whatever business you need. Things are a little out of adjustment. The nuts itch. Whatever it is, now's the time to take care of it. It's like when we're at the airport and the flight's delayed.
Wow.
It's the same mentality. All right, let's...
My kids are getting an age where they're into that stuff, too.
So they'll go nuts. Year. Yeah, next go year. Go nuts for this stuff.
We got to get you out there one time.
Gary?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
My question is, I've been going out with this girl for about a month, okay? I'm engaged to be married to her, and I kind of like gave her consent to sleep with one of her friends.
How
female friends?
One of male friends.
Help me understand this. I'm already lost. What was your motivation? What were you thinking?
Well, I kind of like moved back where I came from. I used to live in Cincinnati, but I moved back to the country where I was raised.
Hmm. And you left her behind?
Well, she was in school, okay? So she'd be graduating in about 6 months.
And then getting into high school?
Yeah.
You're graduating high school, you mean, right?
She is.
Yes, that's right. All right.
Okay, well, I gave her permission to...
Well, why? Why did that even come up? What were you thinking? What was it?
Well, she's constantly horny, okay?
She's very horny.
Yeah. And,
all right, what's your question?
Now, was this a verbal contract, or did she get something in writing?
It was legal either way, Adam. Don't worry.
It's illegal?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's binding.
Yeah, I think so.
Were the witnesses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who are the witnesses?
Her friend.
County clerk. People like
her
that.
Her friend, the male friend?
Yeah.
Hey, what
that's
is
the
up?
One that she wants to sleep with.
Oh, okay. So you gave him the thumbs up.
Oh, good. How did you meet this girl?
Did they do it right there, or did they at least wait till you leave?
You got to the country first.
Well, I just started talking to her about it.
Where'd you meet this girl?
I met her when I lived in Cincinnati.
Where did you meet this girl?
At a club.
And so she lied about her age or something, or were you hanging out at an underage club?
I hang out at clubs down Main Street.
A place called Chuck E. Cheese Nights.
Yeah, what is a 17-year-old doing in a club?
I don't
know. Or a 16-year-old.
All right, listen. Hold on. Gary?
Yeah.
Don't get her pregnant, please.
And do not marry her.
And don't marry her.
Whatever you do.
And actually, more important, she shouldn't marry you. But
that's our advice.
We're talking to you, so we'll tell you not to marry her.
That's it. Don't do it.
Don't get married.
This is a total meltdown mess. And you don't seem to understand that.
I have a question. Was this like a test? Was he testing his woman?
Yeah.
Like saying, okay, yeah, can you do it? You can do it. Just to see what she'd do, and she just did it, or what?
Yeah. Well, I was wanting to know if it was right for me to say that. To tell her she can do it.
Hey, Gary, you didn't know what you're doing. You didn't know what you're doing.
Jeremy, get used to people not answering your questions on this show, by the way.
I hear that from you a lot. I'm listening.
Hey, Gary?
Yeah.
No getting married. No having kids.
I already have one.
With her?
She's pregnant, yeah.
She is?
That's what she told me.
Now, is it from you or from him?
I don't know.
Oh, Gary.
Well, once you give birth to this youngin, you must give it away immediately.
For adoption. Please, dear God.
Yes. And if the Manson family adopts it, it'll still have a better chance. All right?
All right.
Or maybe the SLA.
Where do you even begin with a situation like that? He couldn't comprehend the very basic
I don't know. And this is,
ideas.
And you know, people scoff when I talk about my sterilization program that I'd like to work out starting in the South, but
there you go.
Isn't that funny?
You know, he's 19 years old and he's talking about his girlfriend constantly being horny. I mean, when you're 19,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
But his thing is he's moving away, so he has to figure out a way to keep her satisfied so that she doesn't cheat. I'm not sure what his strategy
is.
See
how weird the thinking is all over the place.
All right, let's talk to Star. Star?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Mm-hmm.
Star's one notch above Angel in the...
is that right?
Do not name your kid this.
I thought Brandy was one notch above Angel. No?
No.
Tiffany?
Well, eventually you're going to get to Jeremy's girlfriend's name, and he's going to be pissed. Wait, what is your girlfriend's name?
Kim.
Oh, you wouldn't have got to Kim. No. I would have been like 180 more.
We should have done that full exercise. Once in a while we amuse ourselves with just listing names.
Star?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So, 19, what's up?
Well, I have two questions, actually. My first question is, I've been having sex since I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really actually had an orgasm.
Okay, well, that's...
But I like sex.
All right, well, that's sort of normal.
Chicks can do that.
Yeah, it's normal for your age.
So I didn't know if there was something wrong or...
No, you should really work on trying to figure out how you can have a climax. That's something you have to kind of figure out by yourself, usually, or sometimes with a stable relationship, if you've got a partner that's sort of listening to you and willing to work on it. But it's a normal thing for... What you're describing is a normal thing for a 17, 18, 19-year-old.
Well, I mean, I can do it with my clitoris, but like any, you know, vaginally or anything like that.
So you can masturbate?
Yeah.
All right, so you're ahead of the curve.
Well,
you're above average.
What about oral sex?
Sometimes. Depends on if they do it right.
Right.
All right.
Oh, you're saying if they do it right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You're way ahead of your average.
Right. You're doing fine. You're having an orgasm.
All right, what's your question?
Okay, my other question is, when I have sex, it feels like they're hitting something inside.
They are.
And it hurts.
Okay, well, tell them not to go so deep.
That's the box spring.
That's the cervix.
The cervix, I mean.
Well, sometimes it matters. Like a different position will help.
That's right.
But I always thought, okay, like, on my hands and knees, that would make it to where they could go deeper.
Sometimes that makes it worse.
But that, okay, with one guy.
All right. Hey, listen, are we going to examine every penis that's been in you? We'd be here all night. Well, you understand, different positions, there's more penetration, and that hits your cervix, all
that's
right?
That's it, you got to work it out.
You work it out.
Or find the positions that you like.
That's
Adam
right.
has a patented device.
Love grommet.
Yeah.
They used to, actually, it's a good thing Jeremy's here, because they used to have these donuts for motorcycle grips. There were these little leather padded, maybe before your time.
No, they
Jeremy.
Were like foam. They're so you can get blisters right here, right?
Right. So that it was really so that your inside of your thumb and forefinger
right
didn't... get caught up or get blisters or maybe get pinched by
it's
the
because
clutch.
The old grips when you used to ride used to be like petrified rubber.
No, we used to use just old socks. They didn't even invent the grip. And then the breakthrough of the donkey dick. We're allowed to say? Yeah, we're allowed to say. Remember that grip? Had no end on it. Had no flange. That was the one that just looked like a dildo. You remember that grip?
Ribbed.
Yeah, it was ribbed, and it had no end on it.
Yeah.
I was yelling at a friend of mine the other day, who invents such a grip with no end on it? That's one of the most important parts. Otherwise, your hands get sliding off, and it's getting pinched in the clutch and the brake and everything. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Old stuff there.
Elsinore, Red White Racer, 250. Couple of laid-down shocks, 500 knobby on the back. Oh, yeah. Couldn't be stopped on the hill climb, so I'll tell you that. Brock?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
You're 20. What's up?
I've got a few questions. I've got a question for Adam and Drew, and I just want to say congratulations to all the Jeremy McGrath success.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Well, Jeremy, what are your, just to rub it in a little bit, how many Supercross victories do you have in your career?
I think I have 74. 74 total, 250 main event wins.
74. And,
with seven titles.
Who's the closest guy
historically? It's on your sheet here.
I'm just asking. I'm asking.
The closest guy is Rick Johnson and Bob Hanna.
What
28.
28.
Oh, my God.
Two closest guys combined. Barely come to half. Yeah. Brock?
Not even half.
How you doing?
Well, wait a minute. If they both got 28.
All right,
come on, now calm down,
okay.
Jeremy. You're getting big-headed.
All right.
All right.
Hey, you said it.
Go ahead. I was right, Brock.
Yeah.
He hit his head pretty good a couple weeks back. Go ahead, Brock.
Okay, well, Drew, I've got a question. I'm actually a pharmacy technician out here in the great, horrible state of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just noticed an abundant amount of prescriptions like Ritalin and Adderall, just prescriptions for... ADD
right.
prescribed out here. I'm just wondering if your opinion is the same as mine. I'm actually writing a term paper on it. If I'd like your permission to quote you, if at all possible.
Well, yeah, sure, you can quote me. But I'll tell you what, the people that study this, whom I respect and read, believe that there is probably over-prescribing in urban centers, but under-prescribing elsewhere. That if you look at the data on kids who meet formal criteria for ADD, I mean people who are assessed by people who really know how to make that diagnosis,
okay.
they have far better outcomes when they're treated in terms of personality disorders, mood disturbances, substance abuse. Everything is better.
Really?
Okay? The problem is, it tends to become a panacea, and it tends to get overprescribed.
What's a panacea?
Cure-all.
For
enthusiasts, and that tends to be in urban environments where you're living. You're living in Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah.
So you tend to see a tendency towards overprescribing there.
Mm-hmm.
But nationwide, when they really look at it, it looks like overall there's a lot of people getting through that are being missed and aren't getting it and could be benefited from it. So it's a really complicated issue. I'm also the opinion that in adulthood, ADD in adulthood is addiction. And I've seen using stimulants on adults just really a disaster so many times.
All right, Brock, me and Jeremy have ADD, so we got to cut this call short, all right? We're going nuts.
All right, can I ask you a question real quick, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure if you remember this. A while back, you did a brief commentary on basically the LAPD not doing their job. Basically, too many traffic cops and not enough cops doing the real thing.
Yeah, all PD, but especially LAPD and Burbank and those places. Too many of these guys sitting around, camped out at four-way stop signs.
Yeah, Mark, that was not a single diatribe.
No, I've been 1,000 of those rants. Get to work. And here's my advice to any law officer, or especially the people, not the guys out on the street, but the guys that are in charge.
Do what you want them to do?
You do what we tell you to do.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You do what we want, what the taxpayer wants, what the public wants. We don't want any candy ass sitting around with a radar gun.
No.
You out there taking down perps. And you know what? The average street cops, he wants to take perps down, too. Not this candy-ass BS.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just curious as if there's any way I can get a copy of that. I'm actually doing an oral presentation for a class for commentaries.
On what?
On just commentaries in general, and I feel that would be kind of a great example of a good commentary.
Drew, pull that up on the computer.
You need to give him the live recording of that and just
Let me explain the situation on this show. People assume that we have things. you know what I mean?
Me like a normal radio show would have?
Yeah, like where
cataloging
you pull that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what year that was. I've done it 100 times. Who the hell knows? I can warm over another one for you.
Maybe something about jaywalking or courts in Burbank.
Well,
here's the other
misnomer here. Yeah, and by the way, the city of Burbank can still kiss my hairy ass.
How's that to get you going?
Still kiss my hairy ass, you pussies over
and
there.
And Brock, put that in your commentary for your ninth grade teacher. That'd be good.
Yeah. Well,
I guess he's in college.
Actually, hit record, because there you go.
Jaywalking, kick it in Burbank, beat their ass, and you guys owe me. You owe me. Do you know why? And I'm not going to get excited, but here's the deal.
You can see that.
Here's the deal. They waste your time. I got a jaywalking ticket in the lines, at the crosswalk, at the signal.
It means nothing to them to waste your time.
Oh, why not? Why not just waste your time? And people are like, oh, you won. Won what? Won nothing.
You lost a day.
You not paying $80 is not winning anything. go to Vegas. Put your money down on the Rams. Oh, they won. You win. You didn't lose. You didn't lose your money to the Patriots. Yeah, but someone's got to pay you. You're not winning.
Well, after all, he started writing the ticket before he reconsidered, which is also BS.
Oh, I told this puss, I said, listen, stop the ticket now. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to beat it. You're wasting your time, and you're wasting my time, and get the hell to work! What are you doing? Candy-ass crap. We don't have enough cops. Burbank's the worst. Burbank's a little crappy city that's outside of L.A. where they film all the things, and their cops do nothing but write tickets. It's the number one ticket-writing municipality in the country, I'm sure. Just get to work, you guys. You guys on the street, you're good guys. And I know you don't want to do the candy-ass stuff. I blame the bureaucrats. Tickets, parking tickets everywhere, money funneling back into the system. Stop raping the public. Stop raping everybody. You want money? Ask for money. But don't rape. Don't rape the people that pay your taxes.
Didn't you call the judge a heroin addict or something?
Listen, here's
you?
Well, I got on the air and said a few things, but here's my point. Here's my deal. Okay, this is all I want to say. A guy writes you a ticket for nothing, okay?
Yeah.
You then say to him while he's writing the ticket, hey, what are we doing here? This is a waste of time. He says, yeah, so what? And he writes it out anyway. You then make a trip to the court and you say, I'd like to make an appearance. So they make you a date. And then you take another day off and you go in to talk to the judge and he throws it out. Now you're supposed to be thankful? Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You had to waste.
Yeah, my feelings. Kiss my ass. You guys owe me 2 days. Who am I thanking here? No. Oh, I'm so thankful. I don't have a jaywalking ticket on my record. You know, you can't work in radio. You get a couple of walking violations. No, kiss my ass. I want to be compensated. I took 2 days off work. Where's my money?
Actually, you probably went if you paid the ticket. Because then you could work the 2 days that you would...
Yeah, you're better off just paying it, and that's what they're counting on, too. They know it's chicken ass, but, oh, don't worry. This guy will just pay it. It's too much trouble. It's, you know, $40. He's not going to care. He'll write it off or something. Just stop the chicken ass stuff. Get to work. Bring down the
something
perps.
Something real.
Yeah, we don't have enough... Jeremy's going, too. I like this. Yeah, and it's always, oh, we don't have enough cops. We don't have enough men on the street. Yeah, you do. They're parked. They're parked at the four-way stop sign up Beachwood Canyon. And there's two of them in the car.
Tickets.
Take that guy and send him down to the barrio and have him fire off a few rounds. That's what I want to see. You got guys. You know where they are? They're in meter-made cars. And they're following everyone around. That's where they are. Take those resources and put those guys on the street and start doing what we tell you to do, not what you feel like doing. We're your boss. That's what I'm saying. Bernard Parks, whoever's running this crappy LAPD, we tell you what to do. And you know what? I took a vote, and I looked around, and I spoke to some people, and we don't like chicken ass. We don't. Nobody does. So get to work and quit pussing out. Thank you. We'll be back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Jeremy McGrath is our guest tonight.
Hey.
74, 250 Supercross wins. 74. Nearest guy's like 26, 27. That's what you call dominance there. Yeah, and those guys were the, you know, biggest names of the day. Rick Johnson.
Are they going to have a Supercross, like, Hall of Fame somewhere? Or do they have something like that?
Yeah, there's a Motorcycle Hall of Fame back in Ohio, yeah.
There is?
Why are they all in Ohio?
Ohio get everything?
Someday I'll get in there.
Why in Ohio?
Inducted into the Hall of Fame. I don't know.
You know, LA doesn't.
Oh, I think that's because AMA is back there, which is.
Yeah, but the football, baseball, they all, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's all in Ohio.
Well, where's Cooperstown? Is that Ohio? Cooperstown, that's where the baseball was. I said Canton is in Ohio.
Yeah.
Cooperstown is in Ohio, too?
Yeah, they're all in Ohio.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's in
Cleveland?
Yeah. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
It's the only thing in
Anderson,
Ohio. All these museums.
Cooperstown is, that's in New York?
Yeah, it's New York State.
You sure?
Yeah. Like 80%.
Look it up, Webb.
I would completely believe him except for everything he says into my ears, completely erroneous. All right, so Cooperstown is in upstate New York or something like that. Well, look it up. I want to find out. But yes, why does that little dump known as Ohio have all, and don't, That's not meant to be a slight for the, you know, beautiful, beautiful people from the Ohio area. But why do they get everything? You know, we got the La Brea Tar Pits. It's a hole with tar in it. Great. Hey, we'll put a museum next to it. Well, why? That big hole with the tar? Well, you're not going to find that anywhere. Yeah, shouldn't we just bury it? You know your town sucks when that's what you got. What do you got? Look at La Brea Tar Pits. It's great over there.
Bunch of wolf skulls.
What do they got? Well, they got these skulls from, hyenas and wolves. And then there's this big pit. It's got tar. Well, it's not really tar. It's just kind of crappy water. It's what polluted water. It's a hole with polluted water. It's basically what your swimming pool would be, you know, if you let it go for a couple of years.
Yeah,
it's great. Come on down.
Nice sightseeing area.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. Oh, no, we don't got any Rocky Mountains or anything. No, Golden Gate Bridge, nothing like that. But we got this pit. Come on in. Don't get too close. There's a fake elephant that looks like it's stuck. That thing cost, that was $1,500. You don't see that everywhere. You'd have to go to like a opening of a shoe store or something to see a fake elephant. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 21. What's up?
Yeah, you guys are cool. This is actually a question for Jeremy. I've read a lot of stuff in magazines and stuff lately about, like, what's been going on with your season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying are they just saying this being sarcastic or what, about disease with arm pumpers, that just regular old arm pump?
No. Like I was saying earlier, I think I had a little bit of a back injury going on, and I was getting arm pumping. I've never, throughout my whole career, I've never experienced what I was for the first few races.
So is this something which you had a typical injury of motorcycle riding?
Well, a lot of guys in our sport that, you know, suffer from arm pump, which is what we, you know, when you ride.
That's a compartment syndrome.
Okay, so what they do is they get this arm pump surgery. They cut that sheath.
Yeah, right. That's a compartment syndrome.
But that's
what you had. That is not your back.
No, something else.
No, because as soon as I was adjusted, it went away.
It goes away with time. If you just done nothing, it would have gone away too. But if you injure it again, it will come back.
Drew, guaranteed. Let me talk to Drew for a second.
I don't know.
Drew, do you understand that the races have a very fragile psyche?
I see.
Have an ego.
If he begins to believe he's got this problem, it'll
just listen to me. When you're out on that track, all you got is your confidence.
Yeah.
You got to think like a winner.
I see.
If you start thinking about arm pump, back alignment, you're getting blown.
I'm good now. Chris.
Yeah.
See, the reason you had it is you had bleeding in the muscle, so it swelled a little bit from the original thing. And then when you start using a lot, it swells up, and then you get the compression.
So, anyways, I was struggling with that.
But now
I'm fine. I mean, the first few races, I mean, we have brand new Bud Light Yamaha team, everything going good, really working hard over the summer, looking forward to this year. And then the first few races, I mean, geez, I was just struggling like I haven't before. So, you know, last weekend in Phoenix, I led the race for 7 laps, and it was a great, like, head-clearing experience for me because the first 3 races were really tough.
I went to round 1, and I was like, I've been going to Anaheim since about 95.
Yeah.
I watched the 96 season all the way up, and it was like nothing like
before. I mean, I was riding around, and it felt like I was at, like, 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, it was killing me inside, and, you know, it seems now... I think now I'm well on my way back to
who's leading? Is Carmichael leading?
No, actually,
Rocco.
David Villman, Team Yamaha rider. Rocco's second.
He's from France. You got to take that back. You know the weird thing about France?
It's only 4 races in the season.
France has some. They're into motorcycles over there or something.
Two wheel.
Yeah, that's good.
Vehicles.
I guess they're into. There's a lot of scooters and mopeds.
Yeah, other than the U.S., France is pretty hip on the two-wheel thing.
Really?
We've got a lot of road race guys in there too. So.
And like
Tour de France.
Yeah, bicycles big. And
Roger DeCoster was probably a French guy. That DeCoster's a French name. Or Belgium. Yeah, that's all the same place to me. that's the difference between Glendale and Burbank to me. There's no big difference there. Same folks.
That's how it is over there.
Same pit, yeah. Riff?
Hey.
You're 17?
Hey, Dr. Drew. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Riff. What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
I just ran away from home like an hour ago.
Why?
My parents know I'm gay.
What's wrong with that?
Alright, I just write everything in my journal.
Uh-oh.
And,
You don't even have to read a journal. Just find a journal, you know, the kid's gay. I mean, it's not like you got to open it and says, I'm gay. It's just you hold it up and go, he's gay. He's got a journal. Honey, can you believe this? You can just leave it locked.
They found your journal?
They found it?
Yeah, I'm like almost certain, yeah.
Well, what happened?
I hid it. I suspected that she was reading it, but,
Your mom?
Yeah, but I wasn't sure, so, I just put it in a different place than I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And, came back to my job and it was just gone.
It was gone.
And so I asked her, she was like all innocent and, and then...
Well, what did the journal say?
I don't like just holding back since it's just writing to myself, so I just said everything I talked about, you know, how I am. I have this friend who's gay and I phoned him a lot and...
Any specific sex acts?
Sex what?
I'm trying to figure out their sort of level of freaked outness and how much we might be able to smooth this over.
I put down, you know, my fantasies, you know, how often I jack off, everything.
Wow. And so how did they react?
Hold on. Just, you know, for my records, how often do you jack off?
Two or three times a day.
Two, three. Okay. I was filling it in, okay. Trying to keep a log.
Riff, how did they react tonight?
Actually, they, like, a year back, they kind of caught me with, like, a hickey after I came from my friend's house. So they stuck me in therapy for, like, 8 months.
What, to try to make you not gay?
Yeah.
So they knew you were gay?
Well, they did, but she's just never read my journal before, and I'm just so mad.
Is your mom... Okay, you're mad, but they're not going to... You know, your dad's not going to take a swing at you or anything. I mean, they kind of saw this one coming a year ago, right?
Yeah, the ice is broken.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And is your mom an over-domineering person? She a hard-ass?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, thank her. That's what turned you gay.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
That works.
Help me understand. So, why'd
you have to run away?
Yeah, why the runaway part?
I just couldn't take it anymore. I mean,
take what?
I could take her, you know, trying to control my life, I guess. And I'm almost 18, and I can't even drive. And
so this intrusion into your journal. Yeah, yes. She's so intrusive that it's just infuriating, enraging you.
That's all right.
How are your grades at school?
Couldn't be better, I guess. I've applied to Yale and Dartmouth and all that.
Great.
What are those, Drew?
Get out of there. You're going to get out of home.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to you, though. You're going to need, you know, you need a connected relationship with people who you can feel safe with and trust. Orange County has a very well-developed gay and lesbian youth center. Check that out. I have an 800 kind of number for you. It's 888-THE-GLNH. Gay and Lesbian National Hotline.
Word is
the GLNH, and yep. And look and just open the phone book wherever you are there, and look at the Gay and Lesbian Youth Center in Orange County. They are a very, very good center.
You look under gay or homo or what would you?
Front.
G on the front. They got gay.
G, gay and lesbian. Sure.
Here you go.
The
G.
White pages.
Go G. I hear the youth center's got a new caroms game over there.
Caroms.
Check that out. You remember that? That was You guys play caroms when you were a kid?
No, not Jeremy.
Oh, you didn't go to crappy schools like I did. That was real excitement. You can either kick the utility ball around the blacktop in no particular direction, or we got caroms. Caroms was sort of like a flat piece of plywood with little pockets on it.
Yeah, sort of pool with little movable spheres.
With checkers pieces.
Yeah, that rolled.
You'd shoot with a little piece of crap. And the backside, like... Every bad kid's game, you know it's bad when there's a baseball game on the back? Like dartboards have that.
Oh, yeah.
The caroms. Inexplicably, there's some sort of baseball thing, but it never works out. No one knows what it is or even how to do it.
No one.
Once in a while, someone will flip it over, look at it, and go, no, Flip, come on. I'm getting a headache. Flip it back. Same with the dartboard. It's like behind every dartboard in every pub and every bar and every house and every garage, there's a baseball diamond that no one ever touches. I'd really like to give a lecture to the Dart Board Manufacturers Association of America and say, save your ink. Nobody knows what's back there. Like you could put me just bending over and spreading my ass cheeks and no one would ever see it. No one knows.
It always stays on the dart.
Yes, people aren't flipping it back and forth. We're used to one side, the dart part of the dartboard. That's the part we're interested in.
The dartboard part, yes.
Yes. You don't flip over a baseball field and find a dart park on the bottom of it. Why mix? The darts, that's enough. That's plenty.
Here.
Okay. Jeremy McGrath is our guest tonight. Big supercross star. We will take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Gina with a mystery problem after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeremy McGrath is here, the superstar of Supercross, and the next race is back at Anaheim this Saturday, correct?
Yes, sir. It's this Saturday night.
And it sells
February
out.
2nd, huh?
A lot of trucks out in that parking lot with lift kits on it. And it's a family fair. Lots of guys out there bringing the kids, and it's a good time. You just can't go wrong. I love, like I always say, I love that KTM 50 race. Got this little 7 and 8 year olds.
These kids are cool, huh?
going around the track, tipping
Drew
over.
Loves that. Little tiny kids going around the supercross track.
Gary. Yeah, they just tip over every once in a while. And, you know, when kids tip over, they wait to get untipped. They just lie there. Like, hey, I'm tipped over. Somebody
the
write
jumps,
me.
The jumps are so peak that they go up and they just teeter-totter on the top of the jumps.
Well, the jumps are so big that these kids on these little 50s, it becomes like the perfect storm.
There's
like a little tuna boat going over 80-foot swells. Yeah. They can't see to the other side of them. They just roll up one and roll down the other. And like I said, I believe we're talking about this last year, some kid tried to hot dog it a little bit because they're heroes, guys like Jeremy. When they win the race, they go over the last jump, and it's a big can move or something I invented called the Ann Flander. But feet off the pegs on both sides of the bike, or they pancake it, or they, you know, do whatever. So the kids try to, you know, they want to emulate. They try to do a hot dog.
Uh-oh.
Last lap, last jump, guys leading the race, the kid comes down the backside, tries a little hot dog move, and eats crap, crying all the way. I felt bad for laughing. I must have been the beer laughing, but everyone.
Yeah, they do good though. Considering those kids are awesome.
They move.
How
out.
Old are they?
They're like, I think they're seven.
Wow.
Seven, eight year olds. They like divert them around the whoops, so they don't have to do that part. But
yeah, they took them out of the whoops this year, and
for the most part they do great.
And the bikes are like water cooled, mono shocks, and the bikes got like more travel in them than bikes did 15 years ago.
Oh, I mean, by a mile.
It's crazy. They're great. They're probably $2,000 those little bikes. Gina.
Yes.
Drew, you got to get your kid on a motorcycle. Get him on a bike.
First thing.
Yeah. Gina, I'm sorry, 30, what's up?
The reason why I was calling is I have a medical question.
Mm-hmm.
I had went to the dermatologist. I had like a rash, and she had given me some medicines and things to put on it. It was like a ointment and some pills to take. And I started noticing that I had these, like, they kind of look like blood vessels on my legs that was busting. And they were blue and they were red. Well, then they started kind of getting lighter. And then as the time went on, I started noticing all these, like, red and purplish dots. And they started breaking out all over on me, like, on my lower legs and up on my chest and on my stomach.
You're talking about bruises? Are you talking about bruises?
I don't know if they're bruises. They're like little, they look like blood underneath my skin.
That's what a bruise looks like.
But there's the red dots.
You're talking about little dots like a hickey would leave. Little tiny dots.
Yeah, they're real, real tiny, and they're in my mouth too now.
Okay, that's a serious thing. You got to go see someone right away. Has a dermatologist seen this?
She's seen it, and she took blood from me. But the thing was, when I showed her on my leg, I only showed her down at the bottom part of my leg. She asked me if I had any more, and I said no, because I didn't realize that I had so many until I got home. Because you know how you don't, like, examine every little mark.
Do you have them in your eye? Like, if you pull your eyelid, under part of your eyelid back, look in there?
I hadn't seen it in my eye. I just noticed in my mouth because I felt something on my, because they're down, they're like in my mouth, you know, where like your cheeks are and stuff. Not on the gums or anything, but on the outer.
How about under your tongue?
Not under my tongue, but like, you know where your teeth are, like where your lip is, when you pull your lip back, right in there?
Yeah. Hold on, where are your teeth now?
this needs to be dealt with. I mean, you really need to get this looked at.
What is this, Drew?
Well, it's a lot of things can do this, but it's typically a sign of the platelet dysfunction.
Oh.
Platelets
aren't working. All right, so maybe she should go to a general doctor.
Well, Jeannie, you ought to call a dermatologist and tell her that it's spreading. It's something you need to take care of right away, okay?
Okay.
Because on the lower, I'm trying to imagine what you're describing. There's something on the legs that you can get that looks like this. It's called a leukocytoclastic vasculitis, and other kinds of vasculitis can
mimic
this too.
Jeremy wrote that down on a post-it and slid it over to me.
But the big thing that does this is platelet dysfunction. That's like leukemias and things like that. So,
bad times. All right, check it out. Tyler?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah, I just had a question for McGrath. First of all, I just want to say, McGrath, you're awesome.
Thanks a lot.
He did awesome in the U.S. Open.
So, yeah, thanks.
I just wanted to know what you had planned for just if you're going to race anymore, or, like, how many more seasons are you going to go?
Well, I mean, you know what? I just turned 30 in November, and Really, I never thought I'd be racing at this age right now. I thought,
yeah, you
know, all the guys that I looked up to when I was younger retired when they were 26, 27 years old from racing. And, I mean, shoot, I've been still having a lot of fun at it, still been very competitive at it. And, you know, we just signed a great deal with Bud Light Yamaha for the next couple of years. So I plan on fulfilling that and see how it goes, you know. As long as I'm competitive and having fun, I think, you know, I don't see any reason I can't go on for a little longer.
All right. We will take ourselves a break, and we'll come back with Jeremy McGrath and Dr. Drew and you after this. There you go. Mike wasn't on there, Andy Cole. Oh, okay. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jeremy McGrath is our guest tonight.
Hey.
And just talking to Jeremy about, you know, when you watch the Supercross race, and it's interesting when the guys are 35 feet in the air, once in a while you see their back tire stop.
Huh.
And I was saying, why are they putting a brake on in the air? And he's saying pulls the bike.
Yeah, what I was saying is, you know, a lot of us, when you're in the air, if you jump, say you get a little squirrely and you're jumping a little front end high,
right?
You can pull in the clutch and hit the rear pedal, the rear brake lever, and then it kind of drops the front down.
Yeah, I'm guessing because it's like a sort of gyro. I mean, there's inertia to that thing, and when you stop it, it's going to force the front end down, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And then, for instance, if you're, you know, you jump with the front end low,
right,
and you're going to maybe endo or go over the bars, you open the throttle wide open and it pulls, you know, pulls the front up because the rear wheel starts spinning extra fast.
Acceleration.
So yeah, that's great, but you got to think of that. And you got to do that, the thing that goes against all human nature. You know, like when people tell you, like with certain cars, if you start losing it in the corner, don't hit the brakes. Give it more gas. It's like, yeah.
Natural instincts.
Tell that to my balls and my foot.
Exactly.
I'm cool with that. But well, my balls and my foot don't understand. Me going over the bars, I don't want more throttle.
Yeah.
I just want, what does crying do? Does that right you at all? Because that's what I would do. I would just start crying.
No, because if you don't hit the pedal or if you don't hit the gas when in those situations, you will cry.
You will go over. Right. Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, guys sort of like adjusting themselves in flight.
Well, you know, like oftentimes when we're racing and you jump the triple, if you jump with the front end a little low, you can stay lower in the air.
Right.
So oftentimes you'll see, you know, us with the front low and think, oh, something's wrong, and he's going to crash or something. But right at the last second, you just
give it a little gas.
The throttle on the front comes up, and it's all instinct, you know, by now.
Yeah, repetition, man. The 125ers are making it over those triples, some of them now, too.
Yeah, a lot of them are
crazy.
Making it in to see Drew, too.
The 125 guys?
Yeah, I mean, if they make any little mistake, it's, you know, it's 75 feet or 70 feet, depending on which track, with often like a double right before it. So
right.
You got to do a double perfectly, then you got to do everything you can do to get this 70 feet in on a 125. And, you know, a lot of the guys are, like we were talking about it, a few of the guys out there got broken legs and broken arms. And
it's just not enough torque, not enough power to accelerate you into the triple.
Yeah, just not enough horsepower, yeah. And if you make, you can do it as long as you do the section really good, but if you mess up at all, you know, then
you see, that's the whole thing, too. Like, this is the kind of thing that you would want a, you know, parking lot size takeoff area. You'd want to check the wind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you'd be down there at the end like Evel Knievel. You'd want to give the thumbs up. Not coming out of whoop-de-doos or coming out of a berm or just coming off a jump and going into the 75-foot jump, which is what these guys do. It's not like they got a long run at it. They can't adjust themselves. They're coming off of something that screwed them up into this monster jump. That's a crazy part. And then the 125s, half the guys are now on the ground on the triple jump, and the other guys are 30 feet above them.
Yeah.
Which Doesn't seem, it just seems like there's trouble waiting to happen.
It is.
There.
I mean, especially if you don't, if you're one of the guys that's not jumping the triple, you better move to one side or the other because, you know, you, some guy behind you might be going bananas and not thinking and jump and land on you.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's happened. A kid just got hurt at one of the first rounds. He's kind of got in a coma because he got landed on. So
Jesus,
it's
kind of coma.
No, he is in a coma.
He had the helmet on and everything, right? Yeah. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, but it was the same scenario. You know, someone landed on him. You just got to be real careful. That, I mean, 250, you have a lot of horsepower, so most everyone's going to triple.
Right.
You don't have to worry about it, but you got to have eyes in the back of your head.
Yeah, I don't know what the anyway.
Mike, 20.
It's just nice you can call people kids.
Mike,
you got that far in your career.
What's going on?
What's up? I just need a little advice on a situation that I'm in.
All right.
I've been dating this girl for about 2.5 years, and we fought a lot, so we decided to split up for a little while. And we didn't see each other, talk to each other for about 1.5 months, and we didn't really get back together, but we kind of met up one time, and we just started hanging out. We became really good friends. Decided that we wanted to get back together, but she turned out to be pregnant, and she feels obligated to this other guy.
Yeah.
Well, let me translate that. He started desperately hanging around her, and she sort of allowed to have him.
Well, she's like a little vulnerable now, and where's this other guy?
The other guy's probably an idiot, so she's got to have him in the bullpen, especially when she's pregnant. She needs this
right.
guy.
Well, he's in her life. I mean,
yeah, but he's an idiot, right?
Well, I think he's a.
Yeah.
Well, you do, but I mean, is he going to be around? Does he want to get married?
Well, he's going to be around, and apparently he wants to get married. But the only reason why she's holding back is because of me. And I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to tell her to just go ahead and go on or.
I mean, to me,
I just want her to be happy. I don't care.
Oh, good.
Here with her, but.
All right.
But or with him, but I. It's still that there's a little piece of me in the back of my mind. It's like I hope it ends.
Yeah, a little.
I really don't care. I mean, I don't care the fact that she's pregnant with another guy's baby or not. I mean,
little piece about the size of the Washington Monument.
Yeah,
that size, a little piece in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I know you're 20 and you're squirrely and it's hard to think about other people being into you, but this chick's pregnant and she's this close to marrying some other guy, and you guys already broke up once and. Just
her reasons for having you around are sort of spurious.
Hey, you need to do that thing. You know when you play 21 and they change the dealers out?
Yeah.
They do that clap and spread thing. I'll do it after I drain a three-pointer on the backyard court. That's what you need to do. That's it. It's a new dealer. New dealer. Mike, you're going to be raising this kid. Then you're going to have another one with her, and then things are going to get rocky in a couple of years, and then this guy's going to be coming around all the time. I don't want to say you can do better, but you can do less complicated.
Yeah.
You're 20. Find some 19-year-old college chick who doesn't want to get hitched for a few years and have a good time.
Yeah.
All right?
Exactly. Take your time with it. You don't need to get involved in that.
Yeah, see, guys.
He's hanging around, grooming it, and she's grooming him for the bullpen. I mean, it's.
But
she's crazy dance.
She's
crazy dance.
She's playing both sides.
Well, we're just really good friends now. It's like, oh, no, come on.
And what happens? What happens with guys, too, especially if they have if high school wasn't real good to them sexually? They hook up with someone at 19 or 20, and they think, well, this is it.
That's the end all.
Finally found someone who's into me. Like, if someone is going to hold still for me to have sex with them, I can't let this person go. And they get really into them, and then they start talking about soulmates and stuff. And they just think they're never going to meet anybody else, and they break up, and they hang around. And there's just, you'll go out with, well, not 1,000, but several hundred.
I think that often happens, especially with the first one, maybe.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the problem is you then commit, and then you have kids, and then it gets screwy, and it doesn't work.
This is, again, that example of how different men and women deal with one another in a state of weakness, you know? Guys are just waiting for a woman to have some sort of disability, some sort of problem to keep her down, some sort of vulnerability. Men, if they're sort of down and out or vulnerable, women will not have anything to do with them.
That's right.
I mean, just, it's something faulty about it. It's like looking at faulty merchandise in the store or something.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody will touch this.
Yeah, women are great. Yeah. Women are like...
It's on sale? Nobody wants it then. I don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to wait till there's another chick grabbing the other side of the bra that we're having a tug of war with, and now we're into it.
But guys, is like lions waiting in the brush.
Well, because we're smart. I mean, we are. We're like lions waiting in the brush. Why go after the fastest gazelle? Let's go after the one with the bum leg who's lagging behind that we can get a free meal off of.
Yeah.
Whew. Not chicks. Chicks, they see the one lagging behind and go, "Ooh, what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody
who's
wants him.
Who's that guy leading out there?
Yeah. Who's the one up front? Oh, it's great. That just means they kick you when you're down. Oh, you women are so brutal that way.
Ew.
You know what I love? I love this one too. Like when a chick is really hot for a guy, and like she's like, he's really cute, and we're going out, and he's really hot, I'm really into him. And then they come home and it's like, what happened? I don't like him. What happened? He asked if he could kiss me at the end. It was so weird. You know, they get really weird about nothing. Like, if there's a chick that you think is really hot and that you're really into and you're going out with her, she could just burn a rebel flag in front of you and start talking about joining the Aryan youth or attack you with a crocheting needle and you'd be like, it's cool.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be like going, all right, sounds good. But the minute you start to like the hot chick that likes you.
Oh, it's weakness. Like, it's a sign of weakness. Yeah, he must be flawed. What's wrong with him?
She's over you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sarah? Where I wanted to go for dinner? Can you imagine that?
Yeah, he said, where do you want to go? And I said, I don't care, where do you want to go? And he said again, where do you want to go? Yuck. Now they're turned off sexually.
Yeah.
The world's best looking guys now physically a mess to them because he said something stupid or asked them where you wanted to go.
And then they can't tell that's happening to their perception of the attractiveness.
Right.
Like, no, he's just not a good looking guy.
Yeah, not into it.
It's not very attractive.
Right. This is by the same token, this is the way the ugly guys get laid who have the cool vibe.
Yeah.
They fool women into that. We're so much smarter. It's so easy. We like the good looking ones. We want to kill the ugly ones. It's very straightforward. And personality, not a factor. That's why guys marry chicks that don't even speak English in their hand. Other guys are happy about that. Like, I met Mitsuk. She's she's from Korea.
That's why they have those email brides or whatever.
That's what they do,
brides.
What do you mean other guys are happy about that?
Well, they're like, hey, she speak English? Yeah, a little bit. Not much. Guys are like, oh, cool. Hey, dodge a bullet.
She's hot, though.
Yeah, she's hot. You don't have to talk.
Yeah.
Sarah?
Yes?
You're 27. What's up?
Actually, no, I'm 37.
Okay. Alrighty.
What's up?
Dr. Drew, first of all, I want to say, Jeremy, you rock. You totally rock. You're so inspiring to watch.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome very much. I have a question for Dr. Drew. I broke my leg, and I couldn't work out anymore, and I gained like 10 pounds during the healing process. And my breasts got a lot bigger. They were like double D's. And now that I've lost the 10 pounds, I miss my double D's. And I was wondering if there's a way to do it naturally so that they can get larger again.
You can break the other leg?
Pardon me? No.
Yeah, don't break a leg.
You ever been on the birth control pill?
No.
That'll do it. You're 37. Never been on the pill?
Years ago, but I'm really not into the pill anymore.
Let's do a little love line recreation. Go ahead, Drew.
Have you ever been on the birth control pill?
No.
Well, that might bring the breast back.
No. Now you got to play.
You're 37 and you've never been on the pill?
Oh, yeah, well, before. Jeremy's good. He picked right up.
That's good.
His Adam needs a little work, but he jumped right in. It was smart. Sarah?
Yeah.
How long ago were you on the pill?
In college.
I see.
Well, now, what is it you...
She wants to be natural.
How can you have a non-physiologic experience without pharmacology? I mean, what are you asking, Sarah? Magic?
We should put our hands together.
Yeah, I mean, think about it.
Form a circle and chant.
You're asking for there to be some alteration of your physiology. That's called pharmacology.
Well, do you advocate the herbal pills or anything like that?
They don't work, but to the extent that they could, it would be because of estrogen effects, which is the pill.
So you think that I could go from D to double D by getting on the pill?
Some women do that. It happens sometimes. But you're not. There's no way it's going to happen. Your natural state is your natural state.
But
there's nothing you can do to that to make it different except by altering it. And you can alter it with pharmacology. Whether it's an herbal pharmacology or a synthetic pharmacology, it's all the same to your breast. It's just estrogen.
Give your speech about the man and the herbs and all
that.
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, chemicals are chemicals. It doesn't have to come out of plants or whatever. Just because they're, you know, you don't know specifically what's in them because they come out of a plant product. All pharmacological agents, ultimately, or many of them come from plant products. They're just more refined. They're more specific when they're in a pill form.
Man, looking at this one, they're just cleaner.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, it's like, well, those are the man's drugs. Well, it's all the same. Listen, I just read an article today about kava causing liver failure. I mean, Resulin was a great diabetic medicine because three people had liver failure. It was this huge scandal. Kava has caused it in dozens of people now. And barely a whimper. Take it off some shelves in Switzerland and Germany.
But basically, though, it's like this. If you take a Valium, you'll get screwed up. And if you eat a peyote cactus, you'll get screwed up, you know? And you're getting screwed up.
Yeah.
One of them is at least monitored and regulated, and you know where it's been, and the other one could have, you know, could have coyote crap on it. That's all. And I don't know, and it's that sort of feeble-minded...
Well, it's bizarre. If it's the man, it's bad.
Right.
If it's the plant, it's good.
Here's what I have to say for all the people that are worried about the man. You wait till you get something. Wait till you get hepatitis and you need some of them pills. You need some of that AZT or that Xerac or what the hell's that stuff you get with the liver, the hepatitis pills.
Hepatitis C, interferon.
Yeah. But you know what I want to do? I want to cut all those pussies off because they talk smack about the man. No. Go to your Chinese friend, the herbalist, and have him prescribe some crap that grows in cow dung. Yeah, have fun there, Chachi. No, they're all kissing the man's ass at that point. I'd like an apology as a friend of the man at that point. When all these herbal nut jobs, they finally get the HIV, and then they want to get on the triple cocktail. No. I'd
natural.
Like you to kiss the man's ass. Yeah. How about a little vitamin C and some kava?
How about you have a heart attack?
Eat some root.
Yeah.
No, the man, they all stay at the hospital. Don't go there.
Yeah.
Pusses. Drives me nuts. It's sort of, and everyone buys into it. It's like, oh yeah, it's cool. Lil, he's doing it naturally. Please.
Well, I was just thinking, I read another article in a medical magazine. It was talking about pharmacists advocating on behalf of stuff going over the counter, which you know that you and I are both enthusiastic about, and that physicians were going up and saying, well, you know, people need monitoring, need control, it's out of hand, and that's a viable point. And the pharmacist got up and goes, well, they're going to lose their business. That's why. It's like, no, wait. Doctors now get paid when people don't come to their office. That's how the system is set up. The system is set up. You get responsibility for a group of people, and if they don't visit you, it works better.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Doctors are very much in favor of things going over the counter.
True. Keep your doors locked.
Yeah.
You get that sign out
Turn
front.
The sign, exactly.
You know that sign with
you
the
card? Responsible for it.
Cardboard arms on it with the little clock says be back at, you know, and they just screw around
forget
with the
that
thing.
People come limping in and you know, like that.
Joe?
Yeah.
You're 31?
Yep.
What's up?
Hey, before I get going, I wanted to comment on the man show the other night when you had the man show boy was going around and using his fake ID.
Right.
That was hilarious. I don't think I've laughed that hard in many years.
Well, did you see the man show boy selling beer?
Not selling, only buying. When he said, I don't ask, just check your green card. You know, why are you checking it? That was just classic humor.
Well, thanks. If you get on the internet, you can find the man show boy selling beer somewhere, and that's a funny one, too. Oh, cool. Jeremy, I gave you, did you get the tape you were in?
Yeah, Cheryl just gave that to me.
Yeah, you gotta watch that.
I want to see that.
Where's the one I'm at?
Man show deodorant. Your one's coming up. Cheryl, you got that tape? Oh, we'll put it in the VCR and watch it during the break.
I've seen this.
That's
110%.
Yeah.
110%.
I saw the one with you at Home Depot.
Yeah, that was good, too.
That was a funny one. Really funny one.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
And drunken pilots, man. That's because I feel like every pilot should be drunk with what's going on, you know, up in the skies.
Yeah, it'd be better knowing they were loaded. I agree with you.
I get loaded when I get on the plane just because I have to, you know.
Sure.
Anyhow,
Sky Marshall.
Given.
Adam's got the same MO.
He has a prerequisite here.
I drop someone off at the airport. I got to go in and have a cocktail.
Yeah, exactly.
Pick up my hand from the airport. I got to slide in and booze it up a little.
The only problem with that is you don't get the little bottles of liquor. See, those are kind of cool because.
No. I get drunk at the airport bar, and it's weird. It's like Pavlovian now. I never had. I would never drink at 7 in the morning. You know, I mean, I go to bed at 2 a.m. for Christ's sake. I get up at 5:30. I got a 7 a.m. flight to make out of LAX to New York. I'm sitting at a bar at 6:30 having a Bloody Mary getting loaded. I would never do that. I would do it if I stayed up continuously. I would never get up and get loaded. Hey, it's now part of my travel plan. Yeah, I get loaded.
Yeah, you're saying as though you don't do it. That's not me. Well, I never do that. Well,
that's not like me.
Part of my plan.
That doesn't sound like the kind of thing I would do.
Except I do it every time.
Except I do it every time.
Yeah.
Prerequisite now.
Yeah.
Denial.
All right. What's Joe's problem?
I don't know. Do it after the break.
You want to take a break?
I gotta pee.
All right, Cheryl. You got that tape? Yeah. We gotta watch this. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Jeremy McGrath, the world's greatest supercross rider, is here tonight. And if you want to see him, you can see him on Friday, February 1st. That's this Friday, right?
Yeah, this Friday.
6:30 to 7:30.
We have
1 hour.
Bud Light autograph signing it.
That's at Hooters at Newport Beach. So if you're a Jeremy McGrath fan... Actually, I just want to go to Hooters. Hooters is good.
It's right on the bay there.
On
I
the
think
peninsula, way down by the ferry. Yeah.
Who's
Bouncy?
Well, what's the Hooter plan? That there's not one within like 50 miles of L.A. County or something? I mean, there's
one
no
in Pasadena.
Hooters.
Pasadena.
There is one now?
Pasadena.
There's one in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
There is?
Pasadena.
Okay. There's never just, shouldn't there be one in Sherman Oaks or something? I mean, shouldn't there be one in the valley somewhere I can go to? Because you're going to get loaded.
Yeah.
You need to drive 70 miles loaded.
No,
I mean, I can, but you kids don't do that. Bucket of wings between your legs. And also, Saturday, the 2nd at 7 o'clock, that's the 5th round of the Supercross at Anaheim Stadium, Edison Field. But I think that's going to be sold out. They try to get tickets anyway, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's sold out yet, but I would say that your best bet's to try and get tickets early if you're planning on going for sure.
Where is the? What's the best town for Supercross right now? I think I ask you that every
time. What's the best audience or what's the best stadium?
Who sells out the fastest? Where are the most enthusiastic?
You know what? Southern California has been great this year. I mean, the first four rounds have sold out. This weekend will probably sell out, and then you know, we go to Indianapolis. We start going out east after this. But I mean, what's amazing about Supercross is this will be the third round we've had at Anaheim, and I'm sure it's going to sell out. I mean,
right?
Isn't proximity to desert more the issue than like NASCAR thing? You know what I mean? Because the open spaces where we can ride motorcycles are really what enthusiasts come from. So it's really desert.
Well, what's it like in Indiana?
No, it's packed. You'll go somewhere.
But you don't go to Boston.
No, we don't.
You know?
No, we don't.
Where do you go that's like that? Boston-esque. Do you go to Chicago?
We raced in Chicago a couple years ago. The turnout wasn't that good.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah,
because they're flat. They're posters.
Well, they don't have a. We didn't. I don't know what the stadium is there, but we didn't race in the stadium. We raced at a Joliet drag strip or something, so it was kind of...
So it wasn't even Chicago?
Yeah, it was outside of town.
All right.
But we go to, like, Minneapolis, and it's freezing snow on
people
the ground,
are out
cold,
there.
And it's packed.
But those Minneapolisites, Minneapolisans, will do anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
They will.
They're into it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, and also, they like to drink over there. Yeah. They ride their snowmobiles.
Well, it's freezing in the winter there.
They're extreme, whatever.
But you gotta look at it this way. Yeah, we got more desert, more space. There's probably more riding going on out here.
Yeah, it's desert.
But there's more going on out here.
More competition for your attention.
When you walk through the L.A. airport, you're nothing.
Yeah,
you go out to Crapville. And, hey, it's Dr. Drew, everybody. You ought to move to Crapville and hang out at the airport. Get a job at Jody Moroney's.
A lot of the cities we go to, they don't have any competition exactly there.
Yeah,
so it's packed.
Yeah, do all airports have Jody Moroney? Just L.A.
I don't know. I don't know. But it's the best, like, $9 hot dog I've ever had. So people are like, hey, this is a really good dog. I was like, it was $14. It better be goddamn good.
Filet mignon
better
dog.
Be good, yeah. Yeah, I'll go get a sign of brisket somewhere. I'll go get a brisket and then go down to Black Angus for that goddamn money. Joe?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. So,
wait, Joe, hold on one second.
OxyContin.
Adam, Jeremy, I see Cheryl over there crapping herself. Read from this
Cheryl's
card, will you please?
Up.
Read from the card.
National Sports Bar on State College Boulevard. This is going to be the, the Steel Roots 3. There's going to be another premiere of this movie, right?
Yep. It's a brand new video. SR3.
And that's, it's a great video, by the way. I saw it. Yeah, you can't go wrong. It's a Jeremy riding a bike like a madman with a bunch of other crazy guys all hopped up on drugs.
$10.
It's great. Yeah. And where's that at?
National Sports Bar.
And that's the second, right?
Yeah, it's this Saturday night after the Supercross. The video will probably show at midnight again. And,
right.
You know, we had it last, you went last night.
Yeah.
We were at the Grove there.
Yeah, it was great.
Stadium.
It was too many idiots. They're all left up.
Is that everything they need to do?
All right. Okay. Joe?
Yes.
All right, so 31, OxyContin.
Right. I take an extremely high dosage of OxyContin. I have for, 4 years or so.
Let me guess, you have back pain.
No, I have surgical adhesions in my gallbladder bed that have attached to my diaphragm.
Same here.
And so it gives you...
Yeah, I heard you had problems with the diaphragm.
And what does it give you? What kind of pain does it give you?
Real sharp, stabbing pain with any kind of aspiration or breathing, coughing, sneezing, all that. I had a major... I had a cholecystectomy, a pyloroplasty, and a fundoplication done open. It was supposed to be a lap.
No, wait a minute. You're 30 years old and you've already had a fundoplication.
Yeah.
What were you? What's that? Are you heavy,
what is that
heavy,
fundoplication?
Yeah, what is that?
It's like they pull the stomach has to be pulled down through the diaphragm because it's going up the hiatal hernia and it's pyloroplasty because he had a bad ulcer probably. I mean, what is going on? Are we a heavy drinker?
No. I had a real extreme hiatal hernia.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Why would a 20-year-old get these awful problems that normally happen to a 70-year-old?
Don't know. I was in the Army at the time. I was in great physical condition. I weighed 175. I had about 12% body fat. Ran 2 miles in 11 flat.
You were not drinking, not doing steroids?
No, I was good.
No steroid history? No, nothing.
Steroids, nothing. No drug history. You know.
Well, that's you should have done some drugs like us.
Maybe.
Be all right.
Maybe that's what it is.
Okay. So,
let's talk to him.
But what do you want him to do?
The story isn't fitting. Is it something?
Well, look, he's got a lemon. God craps out a lemon.
That's not the issue.
You've got to see the Corollas.
What we're trying to do is I'm going in on the 4th for an intrathecal pump placement, or they're going to do the trial.
No, this is just a disaster, Joe. But go ahead.
Yeah,
so anyway.
That puts
morphine right into his spine.
Yeah,
right?
they won't. Well, yeah, unfortunately, they can't do morphine because I'm allergic to it, but
what's
it's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is, I take, you know, the OxyContin, and I take Elavil, and I take Sandostatin. It's a synthetic somatostatin because I have dumping syndrome now after the pyloroplasty. But my ex-wife decides during our divorce proceedings that she wants me. She says I'm an addict. I'm an opium addict and an opiate addict.
Certainly seems like it.
And she wanted me evaluated. Well, that wasn't an issue. I was evaluated.
All right, let's go, Joe. Sorry.
Anyhow,
for all your problems, but we got to run.
They did a drug test on me, and they did. It was a urine, and it was a hair follicle, and I came positive for cocaine.
Okay.
And my cocaine test level was off the charts.
Okay.
I mean, I don't use cocaine. I haven't used cocaine in 19 years.
Well, I thought you didn't do stimulants.
I don't.
Well, when did you do them?
19 years ago.
I did it twice, 19 years ago.
Yeah,
twice, two times only.
That's it, just two times.
All right. That would not show up in your urine. And the hair test, your attorney can get you out of that. That's a very difficult test to interpret.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do they do it?
I don't know. I can't make heads or tails of them. Really don't think they're worthwhile tests.
Well, what are the ones that are? Blood? Is
urine
it the
blood? Yeah,
urine good too?
Mm-hmm.
I'd do the urine.
You want to do it tonight?
Let me think. Yeah, I'm clean.
Right. Well, no, it's got to be random. I got to pick it. So.
Oh, you pick the night. Yeah, I'm cool. All right, let's, I mean, Joe was, woo.
Yeah.
Joe had
He had a tough time there for a while.
Yeah, but there is just something missing from that story. Yeah. Guys,
Don't you go bad every once in a while?
No. You know what that must have been? That must have been him coming and complaining about pain.
Joe did have a rap.
Yeah.
And a lot of drug guys have a rap.
They
talk
on.
Fast and they say, yeah. Here's what happened, and they don't leave a lot of room for question, but when you start exploring things you find out.
Magically we thought he was a drug addict 2 seconds into the conversation.
Well,
thought he was a drug addict.
All right.
Well, he said I take a lot of OxyContin.
Well, but before we even said that, we were thinking addict.
All right, Sam?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yep.
What's up?
Hey, MC, first of all, I'm a medic over at Elsinore Motocross Park.
Oh, hey, what's up, Sam?
What's up, dude? I just want to call to say that, first of all, it's Saturday. Me and the guys from Dub are going to be out there rooting for you, dude.
Did you just cramp or come or what came out of you?
That's his radio training there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Love line, since poor man was haunting the halls down there.
Wow.
Since you were like 11.
You're old timer.
Something.
Are you 28?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Yeah, Sam hangs out at the track and takes care of all the guys that cartwheel themselves.
Yeah.
Wow, what a job.
I just wanted to call and say that... I'm totally behind the show, and I'm totally behind McGrath, and most of us down at the track are. And
you're an interesting question. Go ahead.
My question is, MC, how do you feel about it's like a lot of foreigners are coming into the sport, making a big name for themselves, and it seems like the future is leaning towards guys from out of the country and younger guys like Bubba Stewart, who made an amazing race last weekend coming from dead 22nd to second and would have taken first with another couple of laps.
Yeah, it's the black guy. About that.
Yeah. Well, what I feel about that is, eventually the sport has to have new guys, whether they're foreigners or not. I mean, oftentimes in our sport, the foreigners have a tough time with the PR part of it, because there's a language barrier and stuff like that, but...
How does your sport progress professionally? I mean, if you're a pro football player, you become a coach or you become a manager. What is it? Where do you go?
A lot of the guys, when they're done racing, they change schools.
Oh,
open a school.
Motocross school.
Yeah, they do motocross schools.
Right.
Or they do one-on-one lessons, or they become personal, like a trainer
coaches.
Yeah,
they're coaches.
They turn into coaches basically to young kids.
Oh, I didn't know there was motocross trainers.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is our sport is just getting into that. I mean, every sport, tennis, baseball, basketball, everyone has a personal trainer, personal coach, and all this stuff.
It gets started early.
And we're now just starting to get into that, but it's not something that the manufacturers hire or anything like that, or the teams. It's more like if, I want a trainer, then I'm going to have to go take care of that myself.
Right.
And
well, it's more like you're going to get your kid a trainer when he's 9. Isn't there elements of that, too?
Yeah, there is. Actually, amateur kids that race, sometimes that happens often now, especially with the sport being so popular and, a lot of the parents seeing the dollar bills.
Right.
That's becoming more popular.
It's a hard sport to us, not unlike golf or tennis. It's a hard sport to step into at 18.
Oh,
You better be on a bike by the time you're 5 or 6.
I would think it'd be dangerous. You got to have all kinds of instincts going.
Yeah, by the time you're 18, it has to be all natural. You have to.
Yeah, it's got to be, put that brake on in the air and even out the endo there, the wheelie or whatever the hell you got going on. Jesus Christ. Flipping it. That's what we used to call it, flipping it. Yeah, not me. I like to panic. But I did get the bike. I got the bike and put it in the garage now. I got a dirt bike I never ride.
You did? A new one?
Well, it's like a CR250. It's like a 92 or something.
Oh,
it's all
newer.
Good.
It's
ready
newer.
To go.
Are there any toys missing in your toy house? Think about it.
No, the party house is complete. Yeah, it's good. I'm going to get on that dirt bike, too. But
you
have
to kill yourself.
I got to pad up.
You gotta wear a cup. Remember that one time
I gotta wear a cup, but I gotta wear a lot. Like you guys don't. I notice you
we
guys
don't wear cups.
You don't wear cups. You don't wear shoulder pads anymore, do you? Is there anything going on the shoulders?
No.
I don't see any chest protectors.
A lot of the kids, when they're young, wear a chest protector up until they get to, you know, the 250 class. And it's, I don't know. I think it's more of an image thing, I guess.
Well,
it's definitely probably not the right thing to do.
Chunk of plastic. It's a piece of plastic going across your chest. It stops a rock that gets shot out from a guy's in front. But when you're, you know, when you're like me and you're leading, you know, pulling the whole shots and leading the whole race, you don't have to worry. Although when I come up on lapped traffic, I guess it can be an issue. Yeah, I never thought about that. Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I think I have a hernia.
All right.
It's no good.
What makes you think that?
The balls are enlarged.
Both balls are enlarged?
I don't know, the scrotum.
Both? The whole area. The whole area.
That is not a hernia. Go get it checked out now. Does it hurt?
It's not at all, but it's been like that for a while.
Gradually growing, or
maybe you're just getting big testes.
No, I don't think so. It's just like I was feeling them tonight.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's...
Well, I don't believe him.
Like, something's wrong with his testicle?
Like there's what?
Like there's... like... Something is going in there that's not supposed to be.
Well, that's going to be hurting. Well, that could be hurting, but that goes to one side, not both sides.
I tell you, he is like
But I guess master is he on OxyContin?
But sometimes, I guess, he wouldn't know how to feel one versus the other. It could be hernia, but it could be a cystocele. It could be nothing. It could be a lot of things. But why lie in bed worrying about it? Why don't you get it checked out?
All right.
He's waiting to call you.
I know. That's what concerns me.
I go to the doctor, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, someone wants to know, let's see, what kind of music Jeremy listens to?
Why don't we go ahead.
Just tell us.
I'll
ask the questions.
I listen to everything.
Yeah?
Everything. There we go.
What's in my car right now? Linkin Park is in my car.
No.
We like those guys.
Yeah. I've been up here a couple of times.
Yeah.
Let's just keep asking questions. Jeremy, how do you do that front wheelie?
Oh,
you got to put the brake on.
Use the front brake and you apply it, you know, kind of hard to get the front up like that, and then you just got to control the front wheelie. It's something that takes practice. I mean, I wouldn't advise it on pavement first.
Right.
Although you get the most traction with the front wheel on pavement, so.
Yeah, riding the wheelie on the bikes is cool. Riding the coolest thing is the riding the wheelies on the street bikes. It's hairy, but it's cool. You know those guys, when they cross the finish, they just pull up?
Oh, yeah.
On the, on those, what the hell, a Can-Am or the Grand Prix racers. Oh, I love that. There's nothing better. Nothing better than a bike that's low in the front with a fairing just coming way up.
Yeah, now they do those, like, stand-up wheelies that are so cool looking.
Yeah. Drew, you ever do them stand-up wheelies?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we're going to take ourselves... Yeah, there's that front wheelie's tough because
a hip now.
You got to be going fast.
Yeah, you go
fast.
Or you
can't keep going.
Yeah, you go fast. And then you grab a hard front brake and get the bike to tip up on the front wheel. And,
right.
You know, obviously you have to keep the front wheel straight because if it turns, you're going to go over the handlebars. And then you just got to give the right amount of brake pressure. And
how far can you go? 20 feet?
No, you can go actually a while. If you go, usually we can do them in like third gear and you can go about.
Well, how fast are you going?
80 feet maybe.
That's crazy because you have nothing to power you. You know
what you can do is if you find a really steep downhill, you can do them on a downhill. Oh, right. So you don't need.
What's the best wheelie gear, like just for out in the dirt? Third?
Yeah, third.
All right. We're going to take a little break. Jeremy McGrath's our guest tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jeremy McGrath is here. Superstar of Supercross, and you can find him Saturday, February 2nd at 7 p.m. over at the Anaheim Stadium, or the Edison International Field, as they now call it, doing the race thing. And then you can see him at Hooters, get an autograph from 6:30 to 7 out at Newport Beach on Friday. That's the day before.
6:30 to 7:30.
And what about
That's
February 11th?
Right. Sorry. When to put a little fire under people's ass.
Yeah.
And then you can see him, you can go see the his film, the Bloody Demons of Sprockets 5. Wait a minute, Steel Roots 3. And I saw it. It was hard because a bunch of drunk bitches were standing in front of the plasma screen back there, you know, not paying attention. I wanted to yell at them. You know, the chicks back there getting loaded. But I watched the entire thing, although I have memory of it.
You loaded chicks?
I was in a sort of blackout phase.
Something happened February 11th?
Yeah, also I'm going to New York for the Toy Fair February 11th and a press conference about Planet Hot Wheels.
Planet Hot Wheels? So we like a new restaurant or something?
No, it's a new toy launch. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they got you there.
Yeah, I get to go to that.
You have Tony Hawk there, too, probably.
David?
Hello?
You're 19?
Yeah.
You're really thin?
Yeah.
How thin are you?
I weigh 105. I'm like 5'7 or something.
All right. What's the question?
That's spindly.
Yeah.
I got like two problems. The first is like I'm not so great at talking to girls and stuff.
Right.
And the other one is with this girl that I like. What should I say first? What do you want to know?
Well, I'd like to know.
Yeah.
Why you're asking us what we want to know? Now You're not great at talking to the lads, are you?
No.
That's not good.
All right, dude. That's all right. Well, first off, let's address the skinny thing.
Yeah, the thin thing is an asset, not a liability.
Chicks like skinny. There's plenty of skinny guys getting laid.
Yeah.
It pisses off the husky guys, but they do.
Yeah, haven't you seen Road Trip?
No.
Yeah, look at DJ Quells, or whatever the hell his name was. Yeah, that guy gets some tail.
All right.
Skinny guys, here's my comment. I would say the average guy who's 20 pounds underweight gets laid more than the average guy who's 20 pounds overweight. Wouldn't you say
yes,
that's fair?
Absolutely.
And oftentimes more than the guy who's the average weight.
Yep.
Skinny guys always get a lot of tail.
You need to start wearing black t-shirts.
Yeah.
You grow your hair over your face.
Look angry.
And look angry.
Yeah, be like the fifth hormone or something.
Yeah, then you'll look like a, you know,
heroin
concert
addict.
Goer and,
heroin addict.
Rock star.
All right, and David, as far as the talking part with the girls go,
practice.
That's just experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like kind of scared, like if they're hot.
You're 19, you should be in college. What's going on?
Yeah, I am at El Camino College, Community College.
No, that's not a college. That just has college in it, but community trumps the college. That's the part you got to pay attention to.
Neutralizes it.
Yeah. When you have the junior or the community or anything that comes before the college, that nullifies the college that then comes after it.
Well,
it's like Barber College, not a real college.
I'm going to plan on transferring.
Where are you going to go?
Not sure.
You work on developing a group of friends. This will start to work itself out. Just really do stuff that interests you. Work.
Yes.
I think don't plan on talking to the chick that's so hot and thinking you're going to go out with her. Just talk to her as your friend or whatever first, and it becomes easier, I would say.
Yeah, go out and don't go after the super hot ones. You got to build your confidence with some heifers.
Well, I mean, like,
it's always funny when a real skinny guy goes out with a fat chick, too.
Oh, that's always, though.
Yeah, it always works that way. That's funny. Yeah, all right, Dave. Here you go there, buddy.
You're right, it is funny.
We built him up good. He's feeling good about himself.
Let's keep going.
All right, let's...
Adam, you're like pushing the neutral there. You're like, oh, where we go?
Well, I didn't know what to do. It's like I got, what's his name? We got caught in neutral.
John, what's going on?
Handlebars.
Put your brakes on. John.
Yeah?
Yeah, what's going on?
I've been going out with this girl for about 2 years now, pretty close to 2 years. And when we first started our relationship, we were doing lots of drugs together. Mm-hmm. And right now, I'm trying to like calm it down a little bit, and she doesn't really want to.
The drugs or the relationship?
The drugs. And right now, our relationship's great, and for some weird reason, she kind of wants to get married to me, and she's kind of too young for that. But
how old is she?
She's 17.
Ooh.
17, and what kind of drugs are you guys doing?
Mostly just alcohol and marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you want to calm down the drugs?
Yeah.
And she's still going?
Yeah, she, like, I mean, sometimes she says she wishes she could stop smoking weed because she thinks it's making her stupid.
No, but she's an addict, though. She can't. If she, yeah. You know, that's the thing about being an addict. If you can stop, go ahead.
It's 17. It's a little easier to stop.
It is easy. Absolutely. The biology is actually quite different than at 17. But once it gets going, if it's going, you know, with enough intensity, as it sounds like it is here, you can't.
So what should John do?
Well, John, you can't make her want to stop. You can't. You're either going to have to accept what's happening with her or try to leverage her into treatment by saying, listen, if you don't stop this, I can't be around you while you're doing this, and this relationship won't last.
Yeah.
Well, those are your choices. And the probability is, if I'm not sure if you're an addict or not, but if you have trouble stopping staying with her, your health and well-being is going to be dependent on this relationship breaking up as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, just one more thing. Like, I mean, I'm the one that gets it, so do you think if I was to cut off all the...
Well, certainly buying drugs for her, you're not helping things,
might
right?
Might be a good place to start there, yeah. John. You're supplying her with the drugs?
Don't feel you have to enable the behavior, and don't worry how she reacts. That's her problem, how she reacts. You're doing what's right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, well, then he'll know if she likes him for the drugs or for him.
Right. All right.
I mean, obviously, it's not good, so...
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, all right, there you go. Love line. That is it. I want to thank Jeremy McGrath for coming out here. Always, always a good time.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
You're welcome to come out anytime. Anaheim this Saturday for the big Supercross race. Friday, the day before, at the Hooters, 6:30 to 7:30, Newport Beach. And then the Steel Roots 3, which is going to re-premiere again after the show. After the big motocross race at about 11:30 at the, where's that, the sports bar?
Yeah, we're going to show it. National Sports Bar.
All right, and that's in
Anaheim.
Anaheim. Oh, it's right there. Good, because people aren't going to be able to drive very far. They're going to be loaded.
You can walk there.
Again. Good. You can stagger over there. Yeah. All right, so until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. And we're going to take a picture. We're going to do a shot. We're going to take a picture doing a shot.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.